Welcome to the Upper Room Discourse. I'm Felipe Marin.
And I'm Dakota Childress. Stay tuned for our discussions on scripture, doctrine, music, and anything else.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Upper Room Discourse.
Yes, I know
it's been a while.
Yeah, a while. This is August, and it's been since April, I think.
Yeah.
Long time.
A couple months. A lot has happened. I've been on a lot of trips, mostly.
Yeah. Where you been?
Honestly, I've been all around the world, which I guess we can start. So we're kind of low-tech right now.
Yeah, this is kind of a week one thing.
Mm-hmm. Is it really a week one? It's like a 0.5.
Half point, yeah.
It's like an in-between season two. We're about to start into like fully into season three.
Yeah, this is kind of like our introduction into season three.
Yeah.
And but anyway, you've been on a few trips.
I have been. So I just kind of wrote down as my first thing to kind of look at a summer recap. So obviously, if you guys have been listening, you would know at the last episode, I was talking about how when that episode aired, I was going to be in Peru. So obviously that's common, that's past. Mm-hmm. I spent 2 weeks in Peru. It was a lot of fun. I kind of started writing down, like, these are the things that I did, you know, and I don't know why they ended up being the same letter, but they ended up being the same letter. So I cooked.
You cooked?
I cooked. It was a lot of fun. You know, it's like I watch so many cooking shows. So it's like I'm watching the cooking shows and I'm like, I want to do that. That'd be kind of cool. So that's what I did. And I was able to do my yes, chef. And just like put my head down, chop, 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 cook and all that. It was kind of fun.
Do the yes, chef. Yeah. Like you're on Kitchen Nightmares.
Exactly.
Or Hell's Kitchen, one of those two.
I've been rewatching Kitchen Nightmares. This is just such a good show.
Yeah.
I think.
Gordon Ramsay, he's a
character.
Yeah, a character.
Yes, for sure. So that's the first thing. I did some cooking. So that was part of our ministry there. So we threw a couple banquets for their church. So there was like a marriage banquet and like a special needs banquet. And I think there was like another one there. And not only that, but also meals like for the whole team.
Right.
Was kind of in that as well. That was one thing I did. The other thing was clean, which I didn't do a lot of cleaning, thankfully. I did some cleaning, but I was mostly doing other stuff. But we did a lot of cleaning. We cleaned that church every day. From head to toe. I didn't realize that a church needed that much cleaning. But, I mean, at Lima, there's, like, so much dust in the air. So, what you got to understand about Peru is that, like, half of Peru is a desert. And then the other half is, you know, the rainforest and the mountains and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, but when you're in the city, it's, like, there's all this smog. It's the desert. So, there's all this, like, dirt and dust and stuff in the air.
Right.
So we had to clean every day because like a layer of dust would just settle upon that place every single day. I don't know where it came from.
Don't know where it goes either.
Exactly.
Kind of like Cotton Eye Joe, but.
Man, dude, I was cleaning light bulbs.
Light bulbs?
Yeah.
Hey, that's important.
I almost thought they were like just trying to find something for me to do. And they're like, just go clean those light bulbs. And I was like, yes, chef. Yes, chef. The other one, and I did a lot more of this, was the construction. And I guess it was construction, more like deconstruction. We tore down two walls in the church to kind of make
demolition.
A walkway. Yeah, demolition. That'd be the right word. That was cool. That was fun. I guess those of you that follow our YouTube, you'll have already seen a video about that. That was probably been about 2 months now.
Yeah.
Since that went up.
We put a video on YouTube, the full-length video.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a reel on the Instagram page.
Yes, there is. Yes,
so that go
is
check correct. That out. Either one of those two.
Which that's an interesting point. Which, by the way, for you guys listening, this is going to be more of a like a chill. I guess we could call it like the Upper Room Discourse unplugged.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's on. Is this episode? Well, not just this episode, but this whole season is going to be kind of hopefully, if you know, our direction this season. Controversy. I think we kind of hinted at that you know a little bit last season, but hopefully it's gonna be just that controversy, unplugged, semi unfiltered, nothing like, you know, nothing crazy and nothing unbiblical, but biblical controversy, some unbiblical controversies, because we are going to talk about that. But this is kind of the opening to it. Mm-hmm. And we're just kind of getting this, the summer stuff.
Kind of easing into it. Yeah. You know, which is what I wanted, you know, mm-hmm. when we kind of drafted up the season, you know, because if you guys know, we do 12 episode seasons, you know, I drafted it up and I was like, we could fit 13 episodes.
We could.
So I was like, let's just do like something special on that first one. Just kind of like an unplug, like a life check almost. Yeah.
And I mean, starting, I guess we're starting, man, probably about a week, maybe even a month earlier than we started last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know, timing still works out pretty, because I think we ended in December of last year, right at Christmas for our first season.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll be, I think we drew it up, we'll be ending first week of December.
We actually will be finishing right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's, that is right.
That's so, the way the structure was. And I think it's pretty cool, because I was like, we could do like a Christmas special of some kind, is what I was thinking.
Yeah, so we got quite a bit planned out. But yeah, summer is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Already, it's going to be September. It'll be September 2nd.
Yeah, when this episode goes up, it'll be September already. Dude, I'm ready for the fall season. I keep seeing that meme on Instagram where it's like when I get that first sip of pumpkin spice, which, by the way, I have already had my first sip of pumpkin spice. I've had a couple pumpkin spices already. But it's like the dude's like in a full suit and he has the pumpkin head on. And it's that to me.
That's you. See, I'm not into the whole pumpkin spice ordeal.
Yeah.
You know, I think my favorite thing is, like, getting into the fall time is pumpkin pie.
Mm.
That's about as much pumpkin as I can handle.
Pumpkin pie is really good, for sure.
But that's just me, though.
Yeah.
I like the smell of pumpkin spice stuff. I just don't care to eat or drink it all, because too much. But... So, I don't know. I mean, I guess we're kind of winging it right here.
No, we're just kind of like going into all sorts of rabbit trails and tangents. I think what I was going to say is, if I can remember. Oh, by the way, if you can hear that, I'm getting really good at snapping, which is something interesting, cool for me. Anyway.
Yeah, that's our showcase. Yeah, usually we do a showcase. I don't know if you listened last year. I know there's no videos up, but we'd like a showcase just about each episode.
Are we setting a precedent for like a talent showcase?
No, I'm just saying that's like a throwback to when we did showcases. That's your showcase for this episode.
Yeah, for sure. So I was talking about how I made that video.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I've actually been doing a lot of recently. I guess that's another summer update.
Yeah.
You know, I'm probably like 6-7 videos plus down now by this point.
Something like that.
Like even now, if you guys see on Instagram, it's probably won't post until Sunday, because I think we're going to post, like, show it to the church first this Sunday. Mm. But the stuff we did this past, like the past week or so with the youth, college career, and our Awana program.
Right.
Kind of like some fun things. We went swimming and we did putt-putt just last night. Last night of the day recording is not last night of... I guess like
it would have been like a week ago.
Dude, I got to get back in the mindset of this, because I keep forgetting that the episode comes out later than when we record it. So for you guys watching at home, if you go on Instagram, you probably will already see the reel, because it will probably already be posted.
Hopefully that reel will have been up.
Yes.
Now Felipe does do a good job of getting reels up in a timely manner. But those are a lot easier to do than, you know, like an hour and a half VOD of a podcast that we do once a week.
I mean, are they? I've been kind of lazy. That's going to change.
I mean, it can be. But
you guys watching at home, this YouTube video is going up in a timely fashion.
Hopefully.
There's been some changes. Like, I'm sure you guys will notice. Well, you guys notice the lighting's better.
Yeah, if you're watching it when this video's up, lighting is better. So it used to be over there.
I used to have like a halo behind my head. Yeah, and now it looks more like a studio.
Yeah. I don't know what our creative decision was behind putting it over there, but
that's just where it was.
This looks a whole lot better.
100%.
Cause it's not like, cause I'm not being blinded. You don't look like you have a halo, and it just honestly makes, the shots look so much better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one change we made.
Also, I apologize for our guest if we ever have a guest, because that will be literally in their face.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guest.
Future guest, which we do have one guest at least already planned.
I know. And I hate that, because I've been trying to think of like who else we could have.
We could have
a guest.
Well, I guess you guys can hear us. We're unplugged. We're brainstorming on the go. I was almost thinking, like, what if we invited an old guest back?
We could.
As a potential.
We very well could do that. But that'll be at another point.
Yeah, we'll figure that out in planning and all that. So I went to Peru. That's one thing I did this summer. That was one of my two mission trips. I also did a second mission trip to LaGrange, North Carolina. That was... it's funny. I went to Peru for 2 weeks, then I was back for a week, and then I was gone for a whole other week in LaGrange.
This man was gone for a whole month out of the summer. And
basically. But LaGrange was really cool. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I think really the biggest thing was just nice having so many people. We took a lot of people and we did a lot of work.
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, just that in itself is, I mean, it was definitely a blessing for them. You know, but also a blessing for us to be able to take so many. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was really cool. It was a fun trip. You know, lots of good memories. There's videos for that. They will be up on YouTube one day.
One day.
They're done. We don't have like all the YouTube stuff figured out with the youth to get it uploaded.
Right.
And that's kind of what's slowing it down.
That's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, once the school year starts, which I guess technically the school year started, but like once we get into the semester. You know, I think a lot of that stuff will come.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're in school right now, shout out to you. For some people, you know, you might have been in school a whole week now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's been 2 weeks. Some of you, maybe you're in college and you just had your first class on Thursday. And so, you know, you're still kind of chilling. But it's only going to get harder.
Great advice.
That's how it goes. You know how like week one goes. It's easy, and then something like right there in October hits, and then all downhill from there.
Not when you got that professor that's like day one. All right, here's your pop quiz. Day one.
Oh yeah, they expect you to know like all the course material.
Yeah,
I don't think I ever had a professor like that though.
I didn't. I'd be seeing the reels though on Instagram.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah,
man. Speaking of knowing a lot of material.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have no material right now. Like we said earlier, this is kind of a just wing it episode. You know, you can see I got if you're watching on the YouTubes, mm-hmm. I just like saying it that way, the YouTubes.
So I've never heard that before
YouTube
in my
singular,
life.
But I just use a plural. Man, I found a worship. Found a worship outline of some songs. Lyrics on back. Yeah, this is what I'm taking notes on. I had to write down a whole bunch of...
Where did you find that?
Bro, it was right over... We have a piano sitting behind us, and it was just sitting right over there. But it's got Gratitude, good song. Not that we're going to talk about it today. Cannons, that's an old song and more like Jesus.
We have talked about Gratitude before.
We have talked about Gratitude, and that was a Thanksgiving episode, so we're
still
back to
a great
that.
Song, which, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned it in season two, but I did hear Gratitude live, which was amazing. I went to a Brandon Lake concert. Amazing. You know, like I like Brandon Lake in like concert settings.
Right.
He does have some good songs.
Right. And he just did some song. I think he did a song with Elevation, didn't he?
On
this new album?
I think so. Which I think we're going to talk a little bit about that. Yeah. But yeah, Elevation has a new album.
Dang, I can't even remember that.
I don't remember what the song is, but I'm pretty sure he has a song on there.
Something like Wind and Waves or something.
Oh, is it
like
on
that?
The title track? He might be on the title track.
I don't know.
When the Wind Meets the Fire.
When Wind Meets Fire, yep. You know, I was trying to listen to that album earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I say trying because I started listening to the first song. And then I think I got like halfway through it.
You got to push through because the first song kind of like... doesn't do the album justice, I feel like.
And see, the second song, so it was like 7.5 minutes, almost 8 minutes for the first song.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, I think, was just as long. And so I listened to about half of it. And it was all right. I think it was probably by like the third song where I was actually like, okay, Now this is a song I actually kind of like. Mm. The first two just kind of didn't do it for me. But I didn't ever get to finish the album.
It's an hour and a half long.
Yeah, it's so dumb long. And I think if you listen to the Apple Music version, they have the music videos on there.
Yeah, Spotify will sometimes do the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. But like, I don't want to bash the album by its length. I understand it's a live album. So live albums are always going to be like that.
Yeah, I guess. Well,
not always, but Elevation live albums are always like that.
Well, I mean, no, I think you'd be correct in saying that live albums are pretty long for the most part.
Mm. I think
depending on the band.
I think if it's like a worship album, then the songs tend to be like, that's where you get those 7-8 minute songs, you know, which like, I wouldn't mind it if they were creative, but they tend to be so like repetitive. It's like they make like, it's a live version. And then like 3 minutes of the song is the bridge over and over and over again, which I mean, I guess that works like actually live, but when you record that, like you just kind of get bored. It kind of fades to the background.
Yeah, and I wish that when it was live, I don't know, I guess I come from a background of like listening to classic rock and how they do their live music and their live albums. And you've got the song in its entirety, right? But then you've got like this, and you could take like let's just say a 3 minute song. All right. And it might be 12 minutes, but you also got to understand that like 5-6 minutes of that, maybe 7 or 8 are just like instrumental. Mm. And so I think, you know, when done that way, you eliminate the need for being repetitive.
That is true. Yes.
But I also do think that there are some times where you should be repetitive. But not for 4 minutes.
Yeah, like, I think repetition is important. It's good. I just, like, repetition to an extent.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it gets to a point where it's like, this is too much. Like, like it just, like, what is this, a mantra? Like, we said it that many times.
Yeah, and I feel like, and the one thing I don't want to get wrong is I feel like we do harp on Elevation and, Maverick City. Who is this by? This is Elevation. I'm thinking of Hillsong. So Elevation, Hillsong,
Bethel.
Bethel. I don't know if Maverick City is like that, but if they are, then I think we harp on at least those three the most about being repetitive. If I had to like put them in a ranking, it'd be probably Hillsong at the bottom and then Elevation at the top in terms of how repetitive they are.
It depends on the song. You know, because I think Elevation does have really good music. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the song, I feel like.
It does, and that's what got me about this album, is that the first two songs, I was just like, what are we even really trying to get at?
Mm.
And then it was either like the third or the fourth one, and I was like, okay, this is kind of solid. And then I don't think I ever made it to... what is it? Jesus hearts me or
Yahweh we heart you.
And
it's the heart emoji. The song is not like
to that one.
The song's not bad. It's just, well, it's super repetitive. It is super, super repetitive. I just hate that. Cause I feel like a lot of the lyrics, like I think they have a lot of good one-liners,
right?
For sure. And that album, but I mean, maybe that's it. There are good songs on that album. There are songs I really like on that album, but there are songs I really don't like. Which I hate that you don't like the second song, because What a Miracle is one of my favorite off that album.
Well, don't get me wrong.
It's because that's like one of the deeper songs on the album, and it's like more in a hymn style.
Then was that really the second song?
Yeah, second song is What a Miracle, which that one I think is a better one off the album.
Then it might have been, I don't remember how many I listened to.
I think the first one is A New Thing Coming, and I'm not a huge fan of that song.
Yeah, that I definitely remember that one. That one I don't like. I think Miracle was the one I did like.
Yeah.
So that means whatever the third one and I think maybe the fourth one were.
I think the third one has sure been good.
Yep.
Which for me, that's like the epitome of Jesus is my boyfriend in a song.
Yeah, that one, That one had some good lines in it,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's shallow overall.
And that's been my biggest complaint with this album as I listen to the songs, is that I just feel like so many of the songs are shallow, or like surface level, or they don't go deeper, you know? And like that song right there, Sure Been Good. Right. Like you could have had another artist sing that song, a secular artist, and I would have been like, okay, yeah, it's a secular song. It's a love song. I get it. You know, just because of the way the lyrics are structured, like it feels like in context. Yeah, I understand we're talking about God here in context. You know, if that's where we set the, like, that's why we set it. That's who we're singing about. But like, if you don't set that context, like this could just be your generic love song. Like it's literally like the, what is it? Like you saw the best in me when I saw the worst in me or something. Or like, nobody's been as good as you to me. And I'm like, what, is he your boyfriend? You know?
Yeah, and I think the one thing that gets me is they wait until like halfway through the song.
They wait till the chorus to even say God.
Yeah, they do.
And the way they say it, they're like, oh my God. And I'm like, how do you interpret that?
And the thing about that is, like that's at that point, that's one of the shorter songs on the album.
Mm.
And that's literally at the halfway point of the song. And it just kind of surprised me that, I mean, I do like in a creative way, you know, they go from this.
I do like the song. I just don't think it's super deep and I don't think it's a good worship song, but I do like the song.
No, I don't think it's deep either. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the things I do like is that it goes from this generality of you to, and it leads up to a specific person. And so I will give them credit for that.
Yes.
But I do agree with you that if you take the first 2 minutes of the song and that's all you listen to and you don't know anything about the artist, you don't know anything about the album and just take those 2 minutes, you're like, this is a Christian song.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, and that's where you have to have context, I think, which without it, you get that same vibe that you're talking about.
Yeah. Which, you know, context is important, you know, I feel like, because a lot of like, I don't want to be like, you have to always have context in a song. Like obviously context can come from outside of it, but like at the same time, I feel like if you're making a worship song, you should have that context in the song. Because it's a worship song. It's meant to teach. It's meant to pray, to like show praise to God.
Yeah. And I think the other album that you had me listen to this week, Forrest Frank.
Yes. We'll get to that. Yeah.
But I mean, just kind of throw it in a little bit, but there is a huge difference between going and listening to, Forrest Frank's album, Child of God, and then going over to Elevation's album and listening to When Meets Flame or whatever it's called, When Meets Fire, you know. And I think that's one of the kind of problems as well, is that it needs a more memorable album title.
That's
fair. I'll say this. One of the things I do love about the album is the album cover.
It's a cool album cover. That's for sure.
I think it's supposed to be like, at least it's what I think of, like the lungs.
It is 100%.
Bronchi, the bronchioles and all that. And then I think the last one was The Burning Bush.
Possibly, yeah.
And then before that, Graves into Gardens was the skeleton with the roses.
Graves into Gardens was a really cool album. I like that. Now, I do respect with this new album, When Wind Meets Fire, I do respect the project. Because I think it's a pretty well put together album in terms of the song selection and in terms of like the theme.
Right.
I think they do a very good job of making that theme and sticking to the theme throughout the whole album. So that I can respect that and appreciate that. Even if I don't think the songs are deep, even if I think all the songs sound like they're almost the exact same song, because by the way, they all sound like they're the exact same song.
Yeah. And I'll say, I think one of the major themes, that you do get, at least from listening to the first like four songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is why I liked, it was either the second or the fourth one. I know like the second one, we already talked about that, Miracle. But I think it might've been the fourth one, where they're talking about God's faithfulness, or is that the same one as
No, but there is one about talking about God's faithfulness. I like that song. I forget the title of it.
Yeah, I did like that one because I think
it's Faithful Forever or something like that.
I think it is Faithful Forever. And I think it's like the fourth, mm-hmm. maybe fifth song on the album. Like I said, I didn't get past that. I didn't get past the fifth one.
We're unplugged. I don't have a track list, yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. But listening to that song, one of the things is like, you do definitely see God's faithfulness in everything, mm-hmm. literally brought out in scripture. And I think, you know, but through scripture, we know that the ultimate act of faithfulness came through Jesus' death on the cross.
Yes.
And that's a great thing that in that song they focus on. And I honestly feel like there's kind of a build up in the album to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But you just kind of, I think they take a long time to get there. Two, very repetitive. Three, I think there is a clear focus for the first half of the album. I think it is very shallow, mm-hmm. and, you know, generic.
Yes.
And not that, you know, Christianity or doctrine has to be some deep theological Charles Spurgeon or Wiersbe, mm-hmm. or Martin Luther type ordeal. But in a sense, I think, you know, the more you grow in Christ, the deeper that should become. And I think, or at least in practicality, your songs should reflect that. And that should be reflected in the music. That should be reflected in the words. That should be reflected in what you're doing. And mm-hmm. I don't think they always have that, but they do have some very strong songs that actually do that. But I also think they have their weak songs. But that is every album.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Elevation, I guess we criticize more just because
they're close.
Yeah, and you know, Furtick leads them.
Yes, so. And that's probably one of my biggest issues with Elevation is Stephen Furtick, 100%.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy that I think he's actually
which, by the way, he co-writes most of their songs, but he did co-write song number one, which I don't like.
Yeah,
and he's featured on it.
And you know, I think you can just tell when he helps write the songs,
mm-hmm.
because I think that's when that childishness comes out.
Yes, because I'm going to be honest. So Chris Brown, obviously, he's not with Elevation anymore. He's moved on to a different church, you know. But I feel like every song that Chris Brown is in there to co-write, I'm like, this is actually a good song. Yeah, because Chris Brown actually does a good job. Which I know we've talked about Elevation before, but Chris Brown was the worship leader at Elevation for a long time.
Yeah. And it sounds like, it sounds like we had some technical difficulties right there for a second.
Oh, do we have technical difficulties?
I don't know. You were like coming in and out on my, you know, still there. Yeah. See, I don't know. So we told you guys, I mean, not to break this up, but you know, we kind of started messing. See, it's doing it now.
That's so interesting.
I don't know. Maybe it's just my headset or my mic.
It could be one of the headsets. I feel like was kind of like iffy. Because I had that happen. Yeah. I had that happen the other week where I couldn't hear anything at all through the headphones.
See, now I can't even hear myself at all.
You're not coming through?
I can hear you?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Mm. Must be my headphones then.
I think it's your headphones. I turned you up a little bit.
Yeah, mess with my headphone cord again.
I don't know which one is.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
I think a cord's messed up. Because I had that issue also.
Sorry, we were totally in the middle of a good semi-good discussion.
We're just going to like put a big like technical difficulties on the screen.
For real. Yeah, technical difficulties. I mean, you guys might still be seeing this. It's going to be on the...
I guess bringing the conversation back. Yeah. I don't want us to mistake simple with shallow.
Right.
Because I think you can be very deep and still be simple. You know, I think a prime example is the gospel. Because the gospel is deep. You know, it's not shallow. It's very, very deep. But you know what? The gospel is simple. It's right. Not complex. There's no like 3-step plan, 5 steps for your future. Like right. It's super simple, you know? And I feel like sometimes we forget about that. You know, we want to keep things simple, so we make it shallow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you can still be super deep, but yet be simple at the same time. And I guess that's the trick. It's like, how do you balance the two and make it like actually good?
Yeah. And one of the things that I heard at Southeastern, is you can make, now I got to push this back a little bit. It sounds super loud, but you can make the gospel simple, but don't simplify it.
Exactly. Yes.
And because when you start simplifying it, what you start doing is, I mean, just think of like a fraction, right? You start taking the whole and breaking it down into smaller parts until you're left with a basic thing, mm-hmm. right? And you don't want to do that, because what happens is if we reduce the gospel to just Jesus loves you, which is what I feel like mm-hmm. the first song in this album and the third song, and then plenty of others that not only Elevation I've done, but plenty of other artists, mm-hmm. that's what happens.
We're going to talk about some of those songs.
And we are. Throughout this whole season, maybe even here in a minute. But that's what happens when you reduce the gospel to Jesus loves me, or you reduce it to, you know, God is judging, or you miss out on the big picture. Because yes, Jesus loves us. God loves us. That's why Jesus died on the cross, right? But at the same time, God has wrath pouring out on his son, the Father pouring out his wrath on the Son. And then there is grace and forgiveness. There's faithfulness to establish a new covenant. You know, Jesus promised that while he was still alive during his ministry. And then that's almost also promised in Isaiah and with the prophets. There's multiple prophecies that have to be fulfilled. And where those come from, they come from God himself. They're given to the people. And so God has to, through his creation, fulfill those prophecies, fulfill promises. And he does that through Christ. And so there's a whole mixture. Like you said, there's not a 1-2-3-step process to the gospel, right? But there are infinite layers. There is infinite complexity to what the gospel is. And we can't simplify that, but we can make it simple in the fact that, you know, if you wanted a basic outline of what the gospel is, then I think the way to go is that people are sinners. Mm. They defy God at every chance they get. They want nothing to do with God. They want everything to do with themselves. And so therefore they hate God. Therefore, you know, God could be non-existent for all they care. And that's for anybody, right? But even though people are that way, they hate God, they have sin, we're not good people, right? Even though we're this way, God created us because he loves us and wants a relationship with us. But he sees that we are sinful, that we are unholy beings who are unfit for his righteousness, for eternal life. But he sends the Father sends the Son, right, to the earth through the virgin birth. And then through his life lives perfectly, fulfills law, fulfills covenant, and then dies on a cross to bring about a new covenant, through which, with that blood sacrifice, we have redemption, and we have salvation, and we have freedom and reconciliation with God. And that only comes by the gospel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from the gospel, we have conviction from the Holy Spirit. And so I think that's a simple way. Maybe a little complex, but that's a pretty simple explanation without simplifying it, mm-hmm. right? Without taking what is there and the meat of it, because you can go so many different directions with just diving into that. And that's what we have to do.
No, for sure. Absolutely. So I don't know if you listened to the title track yet, When Wind Meets Fire.
I did not.
So obviously major theme, When Wind Meets Fire. Which basically what we're thinking is the Holy Spirit is a wind. We just walk with it.
No.
You get what I mean by the Holy Spirit being compared to a rushing wind. Mm-hmm. You know, that we see that in scripture, that comparison. I'm not saying that's what he is, but
is this the one where they say we prophesy?
It is the one they say
okay,
we prophesy.
Yeah, I listened to about half of it.
Yeah. But it's when the wind meets the fire. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit coming and filling us and setting a fire within us. That's kind of the theme of the album, revival, mm-hmm. really. You know, and one of the biggest things that kind of irks me in that song, the title track song, is when they're like, I can see it coming. There's revival coming. It's like, I can see it like a cloud and it's coming this way. It's going to rain down upon us. And I'm like, how arrogant do you have to be to be like, revival is coming and it's going to happen. I can see it and it's going to happen. I prophesy that it's going to happen. We had a technical difficulty there.
Yeah, dude. That. It's just like,
that's so
funny. Yeah, I had to change camera shots for a second.
But that's what irks me with that song. And as you get that vibe in the whole album, and I'm like, for me, it just breathes arrogance, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, how can you be so arrogant? You know, to like assume that like a revival is going to be coming. And you know what's funny is we can segue into Forrest Frank's album here, but Forrest Frank has a song where he says, if a revival comes, and you know what he does, he rightly attributes revival to God's work. Instead of him being like, I can see that it's going to happen, it's almost like a hoping that it'll happen.
Yeah,
you know, which is the mindset we should have. We should hope for revival. We should not expect revival.
Yeah, and that's what we should do with anything, is we have a hope and we have trust in God that he is faithful, right? And man, what really irked me is the, we prophesy.
Like, yeah.
We don't prophesy in the respect of what that word means. We don't talk with, God doesn't talk, not that we talk with God, well, I guess we do through prayer, but that's not what I'm getting at. Like, God doesn't speak to us in a futuristic way, talking about events that are to come and be fulfilled, right? He's not doing that. And we're not prophesying about anything, right? If we go and share the gospel, that is, I mean, I guess in a sense, you know, we're saying, hey,
by
God's coming back.
By definition, that is a form of prophesying.
But we're not prophesying anything new, right? We're prophesying things of old. We're prophesying things that, you know, God promised a long time ago that are still to be fulfilled. And I do like Forrest Frank's album a lot, because he does attribute in just about every song of his, you know, the things in his life, the things that go on in our lives, to God.
Yeah.
Right. I think, you know, everybody knows the song Good Day.
Yeah. They play it on the radio.
Yeah. And, oh my gosh. My one gripe with that song is that it gets played, man, I'm
every
getting
day.
Off work. Not every day. I like that it gets played every day, but it gets played every day on K-Love at like 7 o'clock. And I'm like, the day's already over with. And so we're playing this at the end of the day, but you know, you still got 5 more hours after that. So it can still be a good evening.
What gets me is that, like, I've had such a horrible day, and then for him to be like, every day is a good day. I'm like, yeah, you're right. But
yeah, you're
like,
right. It's like, dang, Frank, you're right.
Yeah. Dude, so I guess we're just going to fully talk about it. So Forrest Frank, Child of God, probably my favorite Christian album in the last like 2 months since it came out.
Yeah.
Like, I have been in love with this album since I first listened to it.
I like this album too. And what I like about it is that it's not one genre. I think
he does mix it up a little bit.
He does. And what I love is that it's like 3 or 4. And it took me back to like the 2010s.
Yes.
You know, I'm sitting there at the stoplight. I think I'd made it to song 3. I don't remember the name of it, but I made it to like song 3.
Is that up?
It is up.
Because that song is like the best, but top 5 of that. It's such a good song.
And what it did was it took me back to like 2010 hip hop, pop. And like the whole Maroon 5,
yes,
and Wiz Khalifa was popular. I know I'm throwing out a whole bunch of secular artists, but that's just tell you when, like, that era. Justin Bieber, I think, was just getting popular. Who was another artist during that time that was really popular? I don't know. Those are the first two. But it took me back to like that era with the first like 3 or 4 songs, and so it kind of had that 2010s pop hip hop vibe, and then you know, the, I think next 3 or 4 songs, you got that rap vibe from kind of that same era, Little Modern. And then the last, like, so I mean, I guess the last third of the album was more of like a gospel track. So I think he did a great job switching it up, you know, with each song.
No, I'm absolutely in love. And there's 2 things that are really stuck out to me with this album. Number one, uniqueness, you know, which I think is something that we've lost in the contemporary Christian music kind of genre or sphere. Because I feel like everything sounds the exact same like 90% of Elevation songs sound the same.
Yeah.
They sound like Bethel songs. They sound like Hillsong's songs. At least Maverick City does a good job of like kind of changing it up a little bit. But even then, I don't know how much of that is Maverick City and how much of that is Chandler Moore. Because Chandler Moore does a good job of mixing things up. But I think like just the whole genre as a whole, I feel like it's just so like it's the same. Mm-hmm. Like they're just over and over again, the exact same sound, the exact same song. But on this album, I don't think any two songs are the same.
No.
They all sound so different. And that's what I love so much about it.
Yeah. And not every entry on the album is a song. Mm-hmm. Because the first one, I don't even know what that is. I think it was a part of a sermon.
Yes.
And then I think you get about, I don't know how many songs are on the album. I'm going to say maybe like 10. Mm. But you get to about song 6, maybe 7, and it's a phone call conversation he's having with somebody. So not everything on the album is a song, even though there might be a beat, but it's a really cool album. Go check it out.
That's the second thing that I appreciated with just the album project itself. You know, it's rare for us to have an album with an intro,
yeah,
an intermission, and an outro. Mm-hmm. There's artists that do it, but I don't think we see that too often, and especially not when it comes to Christian music. I don't remember the last time I saw an album like that.
Yeah.
With like a very clearly defined intro and a very clearly defined outro. And even that intermission with that phone call in the middle. You know, sometimes they do it. Like 10th Avenue North did it on one of their albums.
Right. I think the last album I'd say, the only album I'd say I know of, and we're actually going to talk about a song from this album this season. But a group called King's Kaleidoscope.
Yeah.
On their Beyond Control album, they do have an intro. They do have an interlude. And then they have an outro. And I want to say there's another album from, but I can't think of it. So I don't even know at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But there might be one or two albums at most. Beyond Control, definitely. And then I think there's another one, might be Kanye for all I know.
Yeah.
We'll talk about him as well.
I really just, what it is I feel like a lot of our contemporary Christian music has come from the same places.
Yeah.
And there's just the same thing, same people over and over again that I guess like some creativity is just lost. You know, like we've moved past the era of like individual Christian artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not as many of them now as there used to be. You know, it used to be 10 years ago, like everywhere you looked, you know, here's another contemporary artist, here's another contemporary artist. But it's like nowadays, a lot of them just, they've kind of grouped together. You know, if they're not part of Elevation, they're part of Maverick City Collective, or they're part of Bethel. You know, they're like, they're in a group with a lot of artists together, as opposed to like a singular artist. We don't see that as much now.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things is you really don't see individual artists. And I'm about to say this guy because I sent you a reel the other day about him, Phil Wickham.
Yeah.
And man, go to Phil Wickham's.
That was a funny post.
Go to Phil Wickham's Instagram, you know, if you have Instagram. And he's got a post on there and somebody takes, it's one of his songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they,
it's like the Colts anthem or something.
Yeah, it's the Colts anthem. And he sings it to, oh man, what song is it?
I don't remember the song because I haven't seen the post in a while.
It's a popular song he has from like within the past year. Go check that out. That mess is so funny. But you don't see, you're right, you don't see artists singular. And I think Forrest Frank, that's why this album I think is so much of a hit.
It's like a breath of fresh air.
It is. And it's not formulaic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess if you're my age, so like 25, and you listen to rock music, then you know of Nickelback.
Mm.
And nobody likes Nickelback. And that's what I feel like Elevation and Elevation and Hillsong can be sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Is they're basically the Nickelback of Christian music.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they got a formula, and they're like, we'll just cut and paste.
Yeah, and somehow
change some of the lyrics around and just cut and paste.
And somehow it works, and their songs are popular. And I just don't get it.
Yeah, Yeah, that Forrest Frank album, dude, it's like, I just look at the lyrics of some of those songs, because first off, a lot of the songs are very deep theologically.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good theological songs on that album. But like, he also gets some, got some wild lines in there.
He does. And the bad,
like,
thing,
and
is,
he like uses like newer slang, which for me, it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. I think he said something about someone's cooking in one of his lines.
I don't remember.
I'm not kidding.
Somebody's cooking?
Yeah, I don't, it's, that's not the line. I forget who it is, but he says like something, something cooking. Or when he says Lucy, and he's talking about Lucifer, and he says Lucy.
He calls him Lucy?
Yeah, he calls him Lucy.
That's crazy.
And I was like, that's really funny.
Man, somebody's cooking. I'm trying to think, but
I don't remember the song. I'd have to, I was listening to it earlier.
It's like a faint, I was just listening to that one today, but it's like a faint, if you heard it, you'd probably just know.
Yeah. Or the line where he's like, I was Timmy Turner, always chasing after Vicky. I'm like, what a line.
That's crazy.
Dude, I'm telling you, this album, I guess I just skipped over that line. The album has so many cool lines.
Yeah, I'm about to have to go back and like read these lyrics, because I feel like I skipped over a lot of what he just was actually saying. That's crazy. But, so I guess that's, you know, two of the hottest, well.
Well, I don't think the Elevation one is super hot right now. I mean, there's
Forrest Frank is.
A couple of the songs off of that album are. That that just have been played on the radio. But Forrest Frank is definitely the new hot, like, Christian artist right now.
Yeah, Good Day is, I think we were looking at it, it's like number three on the top 20.
It's pretty high.
Magazine.
You know, and let's not forget, I mean, Forrest Frank has so many collaborative songs on there. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got one song with Tori Kelly. I love Tori Kelly. It's a great song.
I think that's like number six.
That's another super popular one right now.
Yeah, dude, that.
He's got a song with Kane. He's got a song with Jake. And I'm like,
yeah, he does have his own Jake.
Yeah.
He has a song with Kane on
it. He does. One of the songs is with Kane.
It might be one of the last ones.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I fell asleep by, I was taking a little nap by the end of the album. And then I kind of was half asleep. And so by the time I like really kind of woke up, Kane was playing. So it's kind of funny that you say that, because I was listening to a Kane song right afterwards. But I guess, wherever we want to go now, we kind of talked about Summer, we talked about Forrest Frank and the album that we like so much, Elevation, and the album that has only like two hits on it. And then, I don't know, we're going to be talking about, I think we said it 100 times already, Controversy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I figured we can maybe jump into that, kind of, I guess, talking about like, what's the word, vision. And what our plans are for the season. You know, obviously Controversy is big. And I kind of wanted to step back in our terms of our music discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of focusing on like, here's a singular song, you know, which we have a couple of those where it's like singular songs. But I kind of wanted to also step back and maybe look at like artists, look at albums in their entirety. But really the idea is, you know, to ask a question and then discuss. You know, like, here's a song and here's a question from that song, you know, and like, let's discuss it. You know, like, for example, like, you know, is it okay to sing a Christian song that's not good if you change the lyrics? You know, if there's like one or two words or lines that are not good, what if you change those lines? You know, and like, what if, you know, the artist is definitely not a Christian, but their music is crazy solid.
Right.
You know, or what about the one that's an apostate? You know, or what about the secular artist that writes a song and you're like, you know, they kind of see the world, you know, this is what a lost world looks like. And this is what a lost world, you know, acts like, you know, and they write a music that shows it, you know, and kind of the idea is to discuss that and kind of see.
Yeah. And then just kind of following along with that, you know, we also have, questions pertaining to Christians who write music that, it is pretty sinful in its thinking. And sinful in its approach to certain subjects. And then we have, you know, questions about whether we should listen to Catholics. And we'll get into who that is later when we talk about them. But so we're covering a pretty broad spectrum of genres, I guess, covering a broad spectrum of artists. And because like we've already stated, we're not doing just Christian artists.
Yes, that's
true. We're doing secular artists as well, because, I mean, it's controversy, right? You know, believers aren't the only ones who can put out Christian music.
That is true.
And if you're watching on the YouTube, air quotes, Christian music.
Well, right? I think a great example is, which we might talk about this later, but Post Malone has a song off his new album that I'm like, you know, this is kind of like almost Christian adjacent. It's like, it's not. Like, clearly it's not, but like...
Right, it's got themes.
If I like look at it, like there's a theme in there, and I'm like, you know, that's kind of, technically, yeah, I see that. I kind of see that through that Christian worldview. I kind of can see it from another perspective.
Yeah, and it's kind of scary how I'm slow to use the word solid. Stuff like that can seem.
No, it's true. I almost feel like sometimes secular artists write more solid songs than Christian artists do.
And they do. I mean, just look at Kanye. And that's scary because we are warned about false teachers. We are warned about wolves in sheep's clothing. We are warned about people who are going to try and infiltrate Christianity and the fold as a whole and look a certain way, but their heart is going to be inclined towards Satan, towards evil, towards sin, and towards this world. And so we have to be very careful.
I think a great example of that is look at Bethel. You know, look at what's happened to Bethel, you know, because their teaching is not correct. You know, it's not correct at all. But look at how that's permeated into their music. Their music is shallow, you know, and like I almost feel like here at a church, we have almost like a no Bethel policy now by this point. You know, like maybe they have a couple good songs, but it's like so much controversy in the like themselves and their songs are just not deep.
Yeah, and that's why you have to be even, and I hate it because, you know, going back to the Elevation album.
Mm-hmm. And you see it there too.
You see it there too. And this is why it's so important to be even more solid, to be even more in-depth, to be even more scriptural, and to be even more gospel-centered than ever before.
Absolutely.
Right? Because we're getting, and not that it's never been a problem, and not that it's a new problem, but false sheep, man. Like it's such a hard thing to grasp. And one of the things that people are going to gravitate towards most, and especially our generation, you know, millennials, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, and Gen Beta coming up, I guess is what they're going to be called.
Gen Beta.
Yeah, I think that's what the next generation is called. I'm probably missing a generation in there, but you know, from like the 90s to, you know, people born in like 90 all the way up till now, they gravitate towards music heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, they're going to look at, you know, an album that might sound Christian, right? And it may be by a Christian artist. And then they're not going to get the gospel out of that because it's so shallow.
Mm-hmm.
And then they might find themselves going to a Sunday service choir by Kanye. And they're like, dang, this is solid.
Mm-hmm.
And then they look at Kanye and they're like, isn't this dude supposed to be a Christian?
Yeah, and they get confused.
And now they're even further away from where they ever should have been or where they need to be. And so that's a big problem. So we have to be solid. We got to do a better job. Not that people aren't doing a good job now, but I think for some artists, they have to do a better job of being solid and foundational in what they're sharing through song.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's a teaching element there, you know, at least when it comes to worship, you know, because worship should always have a teaching element as well as when it comes to the song, you know, so you have to be careful. Whenever you teach something, you have to be careful and make sure that it's correct because it's so easy to teach something wrong.
Yeah. And that we're also going to talk about that. And it's just, you know, controversial is, like I said, the hot topic. And we don't want to be controversial to the point where the things that we're saying, you know, Felipe and I, are unbiblical and unscriptural. So in our doing of this season, we're not going to a place where we're saying something just to say it, just to have a hot take. You know, like, let's see, I'm trying to think of a verse. Let's just take John 3:16, because literally, I shouldn't say literally. But most people know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, right? So controversial in a bad way would be like, I take that verse, all right, and I say that Jesus is a created being, like Mormons and Jehovah's mm-hmm. Witness believe. Mm-hmm. That's controversial, all right.
Yeah.
But that's also sinful, okay? As compared to, you know, let's take like, and I've got this written down, and I think every Christian knows this verse as well. I feel like if there was one verse that'd be tattooed on like everybody, not everybody would pick this verse, but I think everybody knows the verse, Philippians 4:13.
Yep. You read it on there twice.
Not on here.
Oh.
I wrote it on my phone notes twice. I guess that's just how much I think it's controversial. But why is it controversial? Okay. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Okay, yeah. That's true. But look at the context of it, right? Not saying I can go out here and because of my belief in Jesus Christ, I can, you know, throw a football 150 yards if I wanted to and just one throw, right? And not to say that, you know, he gives me strength. Let me mm-hmm. go, you know, lift up the church building. Like, what?
Yeah.
And I think that's the mindset people get into sometimes with some of these verses. And that's why I would say like something like that is controversial mm-hmm. because people take that out of context so often. But if you have nothing else left to say about any music or anything, then we can talk about some more controversial verses I have.
We can. I mean, I've got like, I could talk forever, and I feel like we're already at an hour.
Yeah, we really are.
We didn't even take a break today, which by the way, that's another change. We probably won't be taking as many breaks. We'll see. I don't know. I feel like that's a week by week thing.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think the only other thing I have is I never finished talking about my summer, which is fine.
Might be.
No, we've had a good discussion and all that. But I mean, I guess I went to camp as well. That's what my shirt is that I'm wearing is from youth camp.
Oh, yeah.
That was a lot of fun. But I think one thing I wanted to talk about, at least when it came to scripture, is kind of my, I don't want to be like go-to verse, but really what I've been meditating on the entirety of this summer. But it's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will make straight your paths. You know, and something that's been always on my mind is a reminder that God is the one that will make straight your paths. You can't do it yourself. You know, to stop relying so much on this idea of self-righteousness. You know, trying to like look the part as best as you can, make that path look as straight as you can. You know, and I think a great example of that is if you look at a highway.
Yeah.
You know, while you're driving down the highway, it feels pretty straight. You know, but what happens when you get in an airplane and look at it? It's crooked. Mm. You know, man can do whatever he wants, but he can't make a straight path. His path will always be crooked because there will always be sin. So it's almost like a trusting in him.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, there's personal responsibility. I never want to remove that fact. We should always remember personal responsibility is there. You know, we have a responsibility. But our responsibility is not to be perfect. You know, that's God's responsibility. You know, not that he's going to make us perfect, but in the sense of he's the one that sanctifies us. We don't sanctify ourselves. He sanctifies us. And we follow in that. He lays out the path before us and we just trust him, you know, instead of trusting in ourselves.
Yeah. And that was found where again?
Oh, that's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Probably the most well-known verses out of Proverbs.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I've been studying through Proverbs in the summer.
I remember you telling me about that. Mm. One of the verses, this isn't really a controversial verse or anything, but it just brought it to mind. I think it's Psalm 37. So the first one, and one that's really been set on my heart over the past, over this summer, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Right. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he will do it. And then we go down. Keep going somewhere around here. And then verse 23, the steps of a man are established by who? The Lord. Mm. Right. And he delights in his way. Right. So it goes back to that. It goes back to just what you were saying. Right. You know, we allow God to establish us. We allow God to establish our way. And then, and if our desire is him, You know, we have delight in him, mm-hmm. and he has delight in us, and we don't desire anything more or less. And I like what you said about a road, because thinking over, you know, my life, there have been times, I would say, while we all have a path, mm-hmm. I guess the one thing I like to see my life is like a path, and the only thing I can see ever really is like that next step. Mm-hmm. Like if like it's all darkness and all you can really see is that next step, because that's all there is, right? Mm-hmm. You only have that next step, and that next step is today. That next step is like right now. And so we don't get the promise of tomorrow. And so we have to delight in what God is wanting for us now. We have to delight and desire him now. And that is our responsibility, you know, to walk. Sometimes that is our responsibility. Sometimes to wait is our responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I know in my life, there have been times where, you know, the road might be a little crooked, but I went ahead and just took the rabbit trail. I went ahead and, you know, walked out into the field over there and then got all tangled up or rolled around in the mud, or I just got worn out, mm-hmm. because it ain't a solid path. It's not a worn path that God has laid out. And so God, you know what God does? He disciplines his children. I think we talked about this last season quite a few times, you know, and we're going through Psalm. And he disciplines his children hard. And, man, that's been plenty of times in my life. So sometimes, you know, that sets you back on the path, but you just keep right on going. And you have to just trust him. And you have to understand that God is faithful and that he knows the plan. And that he knows where you're going. You don't always need to know that, right? You might want to go over this way. You might say, hey, that grass over there looks greener. Mm-hmm. And God's going to take you right through that droughted grass on the left side to something that is completely, completely fueled and enlivened by him, right? And so it goes back to trust. And I think that's something that, you know, we have to start taking serious more. And man, I do love that verse from Proverbs. And like I said, it just reminded me of mm-hmm. Psalm as well.
It's important, you know, and not only to trust, but to acknowledge.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the one that did it.
Exactly.
God is, acknowledge him in your paths. You know, don't mm-hmm. acknowledge yourself. Don't be like, look, I've been walking so great. My life has been great. I've been doing really good. It's not you. It's God doing it through you.
Yeah. And I liked what you said earlier when we were talking about Forrest Frank and who he attributes the things in his life to. And it's God. There's nothing wrong with saying, look where I'm at, when you're attributing that to God, when you're giving God the glory and honor, right? You can only ever say you're where you're at because God has put you there. And whether you're up high on the mountain, whether you're down low in the valley, whether you're walking out there in the field and you've done stumbled, you can't get up, whether you've jumped over the edge, you know, sometimes that's our own doing. God has sovereignty over all those situations. And sometimes it feels like, you know, we're in those places because of ourselves. And sometimes that is true. God's sovereignty works through our free will. So that's
a controversial take right there.
It's a controversial take right there. That's what I believe.
But there's truth in that.
Yes. Yeah, we have free will and God is sovereign at the same time. Whether you want to believe that or not, it's okay. But, you know, the things we do, God already provides for, and he knows where we're going to go and we're everywhere God wants us to be.
That's true.
Not, you know, with a little asterisk, right? God doesn't want us to be in sin, but you know, God already knows and he provides a way out.
By the way, the perfect song to listen to would be Up by Forrest Frank. Because that's how the song goes. I was down, but now I'm up.
Yeah.
It's funny. You talked about I'm out there in the mud. I mean, that's one of the lyrics in the song about I was stuck in the mud.
Yeah. He also talked about coming up like Lazarus.
Yeah, coming up like Lazarus, yeah. Dude, that line right there is what gets me. Like he opens it up, and then he goes, like, coming up like Lazarus. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
This song is, like, that song goes hard.
You know, it reminds me of that Trip Lee song. Mm. I think it is called Lazarus.
Yeah.
I think it's just called Lazarus. Good song. But very solid song as well, if you like Trip Lee. So go check that out.
Do we have anything else?
I got a few more verses that we want to look at unless you have something right quick.
No.
No? All right. So we looked at Philippians 4:13. So the first ever episode we did, do you remember what book we did? We kind of, it was kind of an ironic thing that we did with this, Book of Revelation.
Yeah.
And then the next episode was the Book of Genesis, and we went through the Pentateuch. Kind of interesting way to start off a season, don't you think?
Interesting, yeah.
Or a podcast in general. But Revelation, we're not going to talk about this book this season because we've already talked about it. But we are going to talk about a similar book that I'm not going to name.
You can probably guess.
Yeah, it probably. It goes along heavily with Revelation. But Revelation, very controversial book. And one, just go read it. And you, at that point, just by reading it, you'll understand why it's so controversial. And that's because, you know, you can read any like set of verses, you know, that have to do with end times, and then go read like 3, 4, maybe even 10 different theologians, authors, listen to like 15 different sermons, and you're going to come up with like 75 different answers. So that's just how all of Revelation is, or at least that's how it seems to be, right? And that's why, like, me personally, when it comes to, like, the Book of Revelation, I just kind of like to go with what it says for the most part and just leave it there, right? Mysteries to be revealed when they're supposed to be revealed, it's not my place to worry about them, right? Just like our futures aren't ours to worry about, we leave that in God's hands. Even though we do what is necessary at the time. So that's where I'm at on Revelation. And
yeah, and I feel like so many people, you know, they don't treat Revelation as a blessing. You know, a lot of people read Revelation and it's like doomsday, 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 yeah. The world is going to end. But you realize that Revelation is supposed to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be a happy thing. We're supposed to read it and be like, look what's going to happen in the future. Look, yeah, it's going to be bad. God's going to pour out his wrath on the earth, which frankly, the earth does deserve it. You know, there's always deserved it since Adam and Eve. Yeah. It's deserved his wrath. But like, have we forgotten the fact that Satan's going to be bound?
Yeah.
You know, have we forgotten the fact about like, God's going to rule? Like he rules, but like, he's going to like rule. I don't know how to like,
he's gonna
you
reign.
Know what I mean? Yeah. He's going to reign, you know? And like, have we forgotten that? Like, yeah, there's some doomsday in there. It's pretty dark, but like we should see it as a joyous thing, as a happy thing of like one day, you know, this is the end of the story.
Yeah.
You know, one day this is where it will end and we should find joy in that instead of being like, you know, the world's going to end, you know, like I think we just kind of, I guess, missed that.
No, you literally took the word right out of my mouth out of my brain because I hadn't said anything that I was thinking joy. Mm. Right. This is going to be, somebody's going to be like, wow, that's a really hot take. And you sound really mean. And you know, do you even read your Bible? Somebody is going to think that, right? Somebody is going to think I'm like the worst person in the world after saying this. But, when it comes to God destroying his enemies, we should have joy over that in the end times, right? We obviously don't want that now, right? Now is a time for the gospel to prosper, the gospel to be shared. You know, we don't want the enemies to be destroyed, right? We want them to be saved, hopefully. But we also remember the parable of the four soils. And we just went over that a week ago.
Recently, yeah.
And so, you know, you've got some that are stony. You got some good ground, some with vines all around. And then some are on the path, right? And only the people where the gospel really takes hold are the ones who are going to be saved. Mm-hmm. And that comes from conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so while the desire in God's heart and for our heart should be, you know, the same as God's, is for all people to be saved, there's a realization that that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the day, you know, when that time comes, you know, there's going to be joy in God smiting his enemies, right? That should, and in that day, it's going to be, you know, I hate to kind of use the word pleasing, but it's going to be for God.
Absolutely.
Because he's going to be eliminating all the evil in the world. And he's going to be destroying that, getting rid of it. And then what's he going to do? Then the blessing comes and he recreates the world. He recreates it in perfection.
New heaven, new earth.
Yeah. And so we don't have any more need of sin. We don't have any more need of evil because that's not going to exist in the new world that God creates.
Yeah, it's all passed away. You know, and I think it's something that, and we've kind of like talked about it, but we forget, you know, it's such a controversial verse and found in 2 Peter, but how God does not desire for everyone to be destroyed. He desires for everyone to come to repentance.
Right.
You know, and like, we should remember the truth of that. You know, a lot of people take that out of context and they go into the extreme. They're like, if God desires for everyone to come to repentance, then everyone will, because he desires it and his will is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not what the verse is saying. The verse, if anything, it's more of like a encouragement, you know, a reminder that's like, yeah, we look forward to the destruction of this earth, because it, again, the earth, it deserves it. The people deserve to be destroyed, just like me.
Yeah.
You know, every human being deserves that. But at the same time, like, we should be thankful that God has given us this much time, because he wants people to come to repentance.
Yeah.
You know, and he appointed a specific time when the earth will be destroyed. But until then, like, our mission should be that people would come to repentance. Our desire should be for them to come to repentance, you know?
Right. And, you know, just kind of going with that thought about, you know, God's desire, right? God does not force people against their will to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think, you know, I know Steve, you know, Steve is our pastor here for any new listeners at Oakview Baptist. But Steve has said it maybe a couple of times, but I've heard it elsewhere that, you know, if a person who hates God and wants nothing to do with God is forced to be with God for all eternity, that would be more hell to them than hell itself, right? Because why would you want to spend all eternity with somebody that you hate, that you don't care about, that you don't love, that you don't want anything to do with? It makes no sense. Yeah. So go be with your own people, right? And I'm not trying to say that in a harsh way, in an unloving way, but it's just to come to the realization that God is not going to force people to be with him. God is going to use the gospel, use his word, and use conviction through the Holy Spirit, and in hopes that you do come to salvation, right? Like we talked about the four soils. Sometimes it takes root and it grows up and it grows well in good soil. Sometimes it's rocky soil and it's shallow and it doesn't grow and it just burns right up. Sometimes it's just taken away by the evil and the sin of this world, by Satan himself. And so it has no time. And then other times it's thorns and it's just choked out. And so, you know, we each have to decide what the gospel in our own lives looks like. And if we're heeding to that, if we're sharing that, if we're Christians, if we're being convicted by it, and so on. And so, you know, like I said, God's desire for all people to be saved does not mean, like you said,
yeah, it doesn't mean everybody will be saved.
Exactly. And I think we just have to get past that. And he's not going to make us robots, because we do have free will.
No, that's really true. And I wonder if we'll, like, maybe we could unpack that conversation, the whole free will discussion. I don't think it's a discussion. I don't think it's that controversial as people make it either.
No. And I think in the aspect, you know, God is sovereign, right? God knows everything that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just to quickly unpack this, not some kind of theologian. I'm not some kind of, I don't have a doctorate. Don't even have a bachelor's, though I'm in the process of that. But, you know, I'm not some great scholar of the Bible, right? And so I would dare say anybody is. But God is sovereign over everything. And what does that mean, sovereign? Okay, God knows, because he has foreknowledge and he has all knowledge, as I would call it. He has omni-everything.
Mm-hmm.
God is omni-everything except sin, okay? So he has this full, complete, eternal, full, I think I said that twice, just how full it is, knowledge of everything. And he knows everything before it's going to happen. Does that mean he's going to intervene every single time? No. Because God lets us go through things sometimes to better us in the future and for our own good. And sometimes, right, we do it of our own will. Okay, we get into situations by our own desires taking over and getting us in those situations. Most time when you hear that, it has to do with sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where that leads. And then God provides. And God just, he knows everything. He knows everything we're going to do. And he provides a plan and he provides the way out. Mm. And so it's like, there's a road. It's like we talked about earlier. There's a road and you can either choose to follow that road, which is the plan God has, mm-hmm. or you can go to the right and to the left. But God is always going to somehow, some way bring you back where he wants you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, it's gently, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes he drags you kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
And that's just what we have to remember about God's sovereignty.
I think a beautiful example, the last thing, because we got to end the episode, but I think we see a beautiful example of that in the book of Jonah, of the clashing between God's will and like God's sovereignty and free will. I think we see that clash in the book of Jonah. You know, we're obviously Jonah has his free will, like his free will. He has that. But at the same time, God is sovereign in that. You know, and ultimately what God desired is what happened. His plan is the plan that went through.
Yeah. And just, you know, before we end the episode, there are a few, like, there's a ton of controversial things in the Bible.
We're not going to get to all of them. No, I wish we could.
No, we're not going to discuss them all. And I hate that we don't discuss Revelation. I mean, honestly, if we can make this a 2-hour episode, I'd rather do that. But we don't have 2 hours of our day to do that. But just some other things, you know, to go along with Revelation, 1 Thessalonians 4, deals heavily with that.
Yeah.
And then Isaiah 53, I think, you know, just to kind of point this out a little bit, controversial, not in the way you would think, but it's controversial because the Jews, they don't use Isaiah 53. They'd rather tear it out of their, out of their books. And have nothing to do with it. And that's a whole prophecy about Jesus Christ. And then John 8:58. This is the last one I'll mention. But John 8:58, where Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. The ego a me statement. Right? Double affirming that he is God. Using the same word that Yahweh used talking to Moses in the burning bush. And Moses is like, who do I say that you are? And God's like, I am. And Jesus says that same thing. And yet that's controversial because people want to come up to you and say, well, show me in the Bible where Jesus claims to be God. Jesus says he is God.
He literally says it.
And he says it in John 8:58.
Yeah.
So controversial. I mean, you might not see it that way, but it is. And people question that all the time. But I hate that we have to end it right here, man.
I know. It's like we're like dusting off the cobwebs. We're like ready to get back into it.
I want to just keep talking about like more controversial verses and stuff, but we really can't. So just look forward to this season. It's going to be good.
Oh yeah. I'm trying to think of like, if I could do a little teaser for next week, we're just going to say, Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
That's our teaser.
Okay.
For what next week's going
to
be about.
I got you. I was like, for a second there, I'm like, what's Chick-fil-A got to do with anything? Yeah, but I got you.
I wonder if anybody will figure that one out. Probably not.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, if you do, we've only mentioned,
kudos to you,
like 75 times, you know, the person. But anyway, and then as for the book, the only question I'll give is, you know, if, when you listen to this episode, does this book even belong in the Bible?
Yeah.
That's the main question surrounding it. So that's all we got for this week, I think.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
It has. All right, and we'll see you 1 week from today.
We'll see you.
Or you'll see us.
Thank you for listening to the Upper Room Discourse. Join us next week for more discussions in the Upper Room.